Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome live to the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community on Tribe Family Channel. This is episode 12 and our final episode of season 3 as we go on hiatus to build the series anthologies via GumboForTheSoulInternational.com, of which we invite your presence. We cannot go out of here without thanking our generous contributors and sponsor co-hosts, Aaron Joshua and Alan Black. Your time, talent, and insights will be forever remembered and always appreciated. And now, here's Aaron and Alan.
Hello, 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 everybody. How is everybody on this final Monday? Hi, Alan. How you doing?
Good evening, Aaron, or should I say good evening, Teacher of the Year, Aaron Joshua.
Oh, yes. I am Aaron Joshua. I am the Teacher of the Year. I forgot to do my intro. I'm the Teacher of the Year. I'm also a writer. I'm an author. I'm a blogger. And you can find out all about me on my website, lifeunlocked.com. So, yeah, but thank you, Alan. You reminded me. I am the Teacher of the Year, huh?
Yes. And tell the audience what state are you the Teacher of the Year in?
I am in the state of Texas, and I teach in, well, I'm not going to say my district, but I am in the state of Texas. I live in Dallas, Texas.
So the story that I've always heard is they do everything big in Texas, so this is a big honor, Aaron. So, again, we want to congratulate you for being recognized as Teacher of the Year. That is something to really be proud of, and just to go around and say, hey, your hard work and your dedication to your profession is really showing forth the type of fruit and the type of positive energy you're creating within the classroom.
Oh, thank you, Alan. I try. I do the best I can.
And I am Alan T. Black. I am a song lyricist, a retired educator. I am also a blogger. I am a radio host, co-radio host of a program called AJDW Conversation, which originates here out of Omaha, Nebraska. We're very proud to say that via our podcast, our listenership is up to about 85,000. Very excited about that. And as well, I am a best-selling author, Christian author, and soon will be releasing my third Christian inspirational book called Just a Closer Walk, coming up here within about another month or so. So I'm excited. I'm staying busy. I call myself retired, air quotes there, but there's no such thing as being retired when you've got things that you're being called to do. So I'm more than
that is true.
And my birthday is coming up on Friday.
Happy birthday. Yay. Happy birthday, Alan. It was your birthday. Oh, my goodness. Are you going to do something special for your birthday?
Yes, I am. I'm going out one of the local restaurants here. We're getting ready to do a program with for NJDW. Invited me to come out and do dinner with them, compliments of them. It's called the Rib Shack here in Omaha, Nebraska. Fantastic restaurant. And they invited me to come out, pick up some dinner for my sister and I. So I'm headed out there Friday night to celebrate my birthday, and I'm very, very excited. It's going to be my birthday weekend. Let's just put it that way. I'm not stopping with Friday. That's just the beginning.
Well, that's good. You better than me, Alan. I usually take the whole month. I think, you know, the whole month is mine for my birthday. So good for you on just doing the weekend. That's good. Celebrate yourself.
I definitely am. Maybe I'll just take the month of May and just say, you know, since my birthday is the next to the last day of April, I'll just roll it over to the first couple of weeks in May. I'll just try that then.
Yeah, just take the whole month. I think I support that. I support you in your decision.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, Alan, this is our last Monday. Alan, I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss hearing your voice every Monday.
You know, it's going to be tough because I've gotten used to doing this, and I was thinking about that this afternoon in preparation for our fabulous guest for this evening, and I thought, you know, it's amazing how just in a few short months we have been blessed with opportunity to interview so many fantastic guests from across the country. It's been an honor for me, and I'm certainly going to miss the time that you and I have been working together. So along with Beverly, I just have to thank both of you for the honor to have me to be a part of this. So I know that bigger and better things are coming for all of us, but this being the last broadcast tonight of our recipe for literacy in the Black community, we want to go out with a bang. So we're excited, and I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce our fantastic guest for this evening.
All right. That's awesome. And, yes, I do want to thank Beverly, too, for this opportunity that you have created for us, and we are just so grateful. Our guest tonight is our amazing, our last guest. Tonight has been an avid baker for decades. She is the owner of Southern Indulgence Emulsion. Her love for baking started at an early age, and it was further cultivated while she was in culinary school. She is always creating new recipes. She enjoys traveling and being a wonderful mother to her daughters. Our final guest is the amazing, amazing culinary baker, Miss Miranda Cox Haskins. Hi, Ms. Haskins, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we sure can.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so honored and blessed to be here, and I'm excited. Hello, Alan. Hi, Aaron. I'm excited. And thank you so much, Beverly, for thinking of me. I appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you again, Ms. Haskins. I just want to say immediately, I looked at your I'm still looking at your Instagram page of all these cakes and everything, and just I'm going to automatically put you on defense and blame me for the fact that looking at your pictures, I've already gained 2 pounds.
And it's worth every pound.
I didn't say I was upset, though, did I?
Don't they look good?
Thank you so
I was
much.
Like, now, wait a
Thank
minute.
Thank you.
Like, I want that, and I want that, and I want to eat that, and I want to eat that, too. Look at that. Like,
right.
Even on
and
your
had
website.
I known your birthday was Friday, I would have at least made a pound cake to ship to you.
Okay, ooh. There you go. Okay, my doctor ain't going to be happy about it, but I ain't telling him nothing, so.
Okay.
So, Ms. Haskins, tell us about, like, who are you, what do you do, and how did you get into doing what it is you do?
Well, I am in Goldsboro, North Carolina. It's a small town in eastern North Carolina. I love baking. I always have. I remember being in the kitchen with my grandmother while she would bake, and just those memories, and I can remember the scents and just how warm the kitchen was, how smooth her hands were whenever she was guiding me while she was, you know, adding the ingredients and mixing everything by hand. The way that the pound cakes would smell coming out of the oven, those memories and the feelings that I feel even now thinking about that time during my childhood, that is what inspired me to create Southern Indulgence. I'm getting choked up thinking about that. That's what inspired me to create Southern Indulgence Emulsions.
Ms. Haskins, let me ask you this. I'm guessing this being your grandmother, did she use recipes or did she do it the old school way and do it just off of memory and just the routine?
Well, she did it through memory, and I found out after she passed, when we were packing up her things, that she had written down recipes. And so I have a recipe book, and I'm glad that I can – you know, go back through her recipe book. Everything is in her handwriting, so I can, you know, go over and touch the letters and just think about the love that she put into everything that she cooked and baked, and just grateful that I have those recipes to share with my daughters now.
That's fantastic. That is so...
That's beautiful. So what was your, like, favorite dish that your grandmother made? That was your favorite one?
Everything that she made was good, but I loved her chicken pastry. I don't know what part of the country y'all are in. Some people call it chicken and dumplings. I loved her chicken pastry. And all of her cakes were good. My favorite cakes of hers were chocolate cake and pound cake. Those are my favorites.
Not pound cake, please. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Everyone loves pound cake. And it's not too sweet, and just the vanilla and the rich butter taste. Again, that's what inspired my emulsion. And the emulsion can be added to any baked good or any recipe that calls for vanilla flavoring. So you can add the flavor of pound cake to anything. So you can add it to your pancake mix. You can add it to your cookie dough. When you're making whipped cream, anything that calls for vanilla. So pound cake is clearly my favorite.
Ms. Matthews, how old were you when you started hanging out with your grandmother in the kitchen?
I would be with my grandmother any chance I could get. I was with her every day during the summers while my parents were working. But every chance that I got, when she came over to our house to visit, I wanted to leave with her. Whenever we would go visit her, I want to stay even longer. So my grandmother was my favorite person in the world. And I know that she's proud, and I know that she's pushing me and excited that I'm still talking about her and her recipes.
Outstanding.
So then, Ms. Haskins, so what made
you call me
say... Okay, Miranda, sorry.
Thank
girl.
hey.
So what made you say, oh, I want to go to school for this instead of, you know, just like, I guess like your grandmother, just passing it down through your family? What was the shift, the thing that said, oh, I want to go to culinary school?
I moved to Baltimore from North Carolina. In addition to baking, I'm also a flight attendant. So my base was in Baltimore, and there is a culinary school in Baltimore. So since I live there and I'm working, I found time in my schedule to also go to school because I wanted to be even better. I felt like I was a really good baker, but I wanted to hone in on those skills and cultivate them so that I could be even better. I always felt like there was something bigger than me, bigger than just baking for my family.
Miranda, quick question. When you went to school there at the Roosevelt International College, was there a big difference between the academic side of what they were teaching you as opposed to what your grandmother instructed you to do?
Oh, it was completely different. I was learning in culinary school how to bake on a large scale for hundreds of people at a time as opposed to just making 1 pound cake.
Okay.
So I learned how to bake in larger quantities and still, you know, keep the same taste as I would if I were baking in my kitchen.
Is that hard to do?
It is. Well, I mean, it's not hard, but if you're not a baker, it might be. I mean, anything that you love,
like,
that's your passion.
To...
Right. Mm-hmm. Anything that you love, I mean, you want to, you know, keep learning more and more about it. And so the more that I learn about baking, even more recipes and the quantities, the more exciting it was. It wasn't hard for me.
So in a lot of respects, this really helped you to refine or elevate your mathematical skills with equations and things like that, correct?
Somewhat. I am not a math person. I'm not a math person, but I had a baker's conversion calculator that helped me measure everything.
The same thing?
Yeah.
So like, what's your, I guess, your best dish? What's your best one that you, that you're famous for, that you're known for, that you're really good at?
During the pandemic, I was not flying at all. I was nervous about contracting the coronavirus and bringing it home to my daughters. So I took leave, and I decided to stay at home, and I was baking every day to make up for the income that I was missing from my full-time job. So during that time, I started baking cookies and cheesecakes as well as cakes and selling individual, you know, cookies or slices of cheesecake and slices of cake. And so during that time, I really, really fell in love with baking cheesecakes. And my most popular cheesecakes are banana pudding, peach cobbler, as well as blueberry cobbler. So I think those tie for my top three favorite cheesecakes.
Okay.
Wow.
So what's the difference between a cobbler, like you call a cobbler a cheesecake, is that like, I guess my brain is thinking of something different for a cheesecake. There's different types of cheesecakes? I'm sorry, I'm asking. Like, is that a thing?
Well, I made it a thing. I don't know if it was a thing previously, but I put the flavors of cobblers into the cheesecake batter, and I also made toppings for the cheesecakes that match the inside of the batter.
Oh, that's cool. So did you get that idea to start doing the different flavors in culinary school? You said it was just your idea. You just came up with this, right?
It was just my idea that I came up with while I was home. I had time. And so I made it work, and everyone loved it.
So this is your own creation?
Yes.
You put a patent on that bad boy, because I never heard of blueberry cheesecake.
Well, that's something else that I can write down to add to my list of things to do. But and they're pictured on my Instagram page as well.
So Alan said something about a patent. Is there like a way to patent your recipes? Is that a thing in the culinary
arts?
It's
not a thing. However, it could be mass produced and sold.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Like Sara Lee sells her cheesecakes, I can start selling mine.
I don't know.
You're on the side of the box, girl.
So, Miranda, how did you get on the Roland Martin Black Star Network program?
So I produced my emulsion, and once it was ready, it was produced, and my manufacturer was ready to start shipping. I made a post on Facebook, and it was shared hundreds of times, and I was contacted through a share. I honestly don't know who shared it and how they found me, but I'm just grateful for all the support that I received, all the orders that have been made. I'm grateful for my Black-owned manufacturer. I'm just grateful for every single opportunity that has come about since my product was released earlier this month.
Outstanding. Wow, that is so cool.
Thank you.
So you mentioned
it's been overwhelming,
well,
but I'm very excited.
Awesome. So you're on the Black Star Network. You said you have a black manufacturer. I wonder how many, and even when you were in culinary school, how many black women or black people in general are there in this field? Do you know, or do you have any idea of that, those kind of demographics?
I'm not really sure at all, but I will say that when I was in culinary school, out of a class of 20, there might be two black women.
Gotcha.
Including myself, that would be in my classes. So not many at all.
Do you feel like it was a more
It's a white male-dominated field.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
So from the Roland Martin invite, I also know, are you planning on doing some things on YouTube, like setting up your YouTube channel, cooking demonstrations and things like that? Or what does that hold for the future?
I had not considered YouTube. However, I did start teaching tutorials. My first tutorial that I released week before last is a pink lemonade pound cake tutorial, and I walk you step by step through the process of how to make a pink lemonade pound cake in your own home. And that tutorial is on my website as well.
A pink
lemonade. So YouTube is on the horizon.
So we mentioned earlier that you have two daughters. So do you pass your grandmother's recipes on to them? Do you cook with them? Are you also working with them and teaching them your business? Or how old are they?
My daughters are 5 and 6. They're Lauren and Lillian. They love to bake. And they love to cook as well. They're small, but they're starting slow. Whenever it's time to start cooking dinner or when I'm baking, I have them get all the ingredients out and I let them measure everything, well, almost everything. We're still working on cracking eggs. but the ingredients they can't measure out, they do. And then I let them add them as they can. And I use clear mixing bowls. So that they can see everything, how it should look as I'm adding it. And I'm always giving them tips so that, I mean, they're absorbing everything. So I want them to be even better and do it even bigger than I do it now. So they love learning, and I can't wait to see what they do with this.
So this is tapping into the teaching component of Miranda Cox Haskins, because you're teaching your daughters, and then I can see in the future where you have your YouTube videos of you teaching your daughters, which is teaching others the same thing.
That's right. And ironically, when I finished undergrad, my first job, I taught fifth grade. Elementary education was my major. I didn't really like it, but just a full circle moment, because I'm teaching again. Just not in the classroom and not elementary students.
So is that something you can see for your future, like going and being an instructor in the culinary arts schools? Is that something that you see for yourself?
I can see that. I like small settings, but I also like recording the classes and setting them up for, you know, tutorials as well.
So to that, do you see yourself in the future creating mentoring type of programs as well for other young ladies and young men who want to be baking chefs as well?
You know, I never thought about that, but I think that's a great idea. So many times we just do what we do and then we don't really share it, but I'd love to share my love for baking and my knowledge of the field with anyone that would love to learn.
Beautiful. So Miranda, you mentioned earlier that you majored in education and you taught, but you said you didn't like it. Can I ask why you didn't like it?
It was so long ago. It was hard. The way that we learned when I was an undergrad was totally different from the experience that I had at my school.
Okay.
Parent support was not there. It just, I don't think it was for me. But if I would have been in a different school, maybe I would still, you know, be teaching, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But everything is that I've learned and that I've done has led up to this moment.
And that is true. That is true. But I ask just because, you know, I feel like I've heard that from a lot of people in the education field. It's like they do it and they're like, I don't like it. And so I'm always curious to hear, you know, why people choose to, you know, leave the profession. Because it is, it's like you said, it is really hard. And it isn't always, and I think teachers specifically are not supported and respected in the ways that they need to be. So I was curious. I'm always curious as to, and like you said, in what they teach you in undergrad, once you get out into the field, it's not like that at all. At all. So I was just
And there were teachers that.
That
I remember that they hated it, and they had been doing it a long time. And I didn't want to, I didn't want my students to come to school knowing that I hated my job and the parents to know. I didn't want to be mean, you know? So I just wanted to get out while I was ahead. I mean, I enjoyed the year that I taught, but I knew that was enough, you know? I didn't want to, I didn't want to be a mean teacher and to be bitter and angry all the time. I mean, we have choices. And so, I mean, I wanted to tell those teachers when I left, you can leave. You don't have to be here, you know, because you're not helping. I mean, you are, but you're not if your attitude does not reflect or is not helping cultivate your students into being better.
Right. And, you know, Miranda, it's good that you recognize that, because if you're in a situation where you're not happy, just by the process of osmosis, it can filter down to the people that you're trying to work with and it impacts them, which is very important when it comes to education. So that's good that you did that. Aaron and Miranda, we're going to take a quick station break. And what we want our callers to do is to press one for any questions. Just give us a call and any comments that you may have. So we'll go to a quick station break if I can take a breather. And then we will be right back with the fabulous, fabulous Miranda Cox Haskins. Everybody, please come back and hear from this phenomenal woman.
I know building a website can be intimidating, but you need a place where your audience can connect with you. Instead of fighting with technology, try the easiest, most flexible website builder available. With templates for all types of websites, ranging from landing pages to e-commerce, Urban Book Editor's platform makes creating an author website quick and easy. Just add a section, upload your photos and videos, type your text, and you're in business. It couldn't be easier. And if you signed up for an annual plan, you can get 10% off the first year. Just use discount code FIRSTYEAR. That's 1-STYEAR. The number 1-STYEAR in all caps. Take advantage of the 14-day free trial. No credit card is needed. Visit urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website from the menu bar at the top of the page. No more struggling with technology. No more paying a small fortune to developers. Create beautiful websites without learning to code. Spend more time writing and less time worrying about your website. Just go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website. You'll see how easy it is to build a great website to showcase your work. Go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website today.
And we are back. Alan, are you there? Miranda, are you there?
I'm here.
Alan, you still with us?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm enjoying myself.
Just double check and make sure nobody's line dropped. So, Miranda, I want to ask you, like, for parents or for young people who are interested in getting into baking or getting into the culinary arts, like, what do you tell those people? What do you tell parents who want to help their children get into that? Or what's some advice you can give?
The biggest piece of advice that I would give is make sure that you're sure that this is what your son or daughter really, really wants to do. I love baking and cooking since I was small. I can remember frying chicken when I was like 7 or 8 years old. So I've always loved being in the kitchen. But culinary school is very expensive because the cost of food is so expensive. And if you don't know what you're doing, you're wasting the food. But you have to remember you're paying for it. You've already paid for it. So, make sure that this is a love that you've seen for a long time and not just watch Top Chef and decided, I want to be in culinary school so I can get on TV, because it's a lot different than television. And it's very expensive. But it's an investment that's worth it if you love it.
Miranda, I have a question. I know you are mentoring your daughters and they're following in your footsteps. Have you had conversations with young men who have expressed an interest in becoming chefs or great bakers or anything like that?
I have not, surprisingly. The only chefs that I know are the ones that I met in culinary school, but I have not met any young men that would like to take up the field.
So, Miranda, you mentioned Top Chef. Do you watch shows like that? And, like, are you correcting people as they're making things while you're watching it? Do you enjoy stuff like that?
I really do enjoy it. I'm not correct. On Top Chef, they do a really good job. On Chopped, they do a really good job. But when I watch some cooks on competitions like Hell's Kitchen and Good Morning America, I can really look and say, oh, no, that's not right. And I always watch the facial expressions of the people that are tasting the food, because even though they say it's good, the eyes never lie.
You can tell when it's not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or even as I'm listening to the recipe, if it doesn't sound like it should go together, I know it's not going to be good. You know, certain flavors go together. And some definitely do not.
What are some flavors that you've heard of or that you've seen people try to put together that you were like, that doesn't make any sense? Can you think of any off the top of your head?
Yes. Last year there was a trend on, if I'm not mistaken, TikTok, and they were adding mustard to watermelon.
Ugh.
That does not go together. I never tried it, but that does not go together.
Yeah, I don't have to try that to know it don't work.
Right.
Miranda, what's your marketplace right now? I know you're doing things branching out nationally, but what's your marketplace?
I have a really good following in the town that I live in. Like I said, I started doing individual slices of cakes and cheesecakes and bags of cookies during the pandemic when people were home and they needed to taste some comfort while we were in some really uncertain times. And I decided to make my business, my hobby, into a real legitimate business. And so I registered my business, filing my taxes, you know, doing everything the right way. And I created a Facebook page for my business, as well as I started Instagram. So whenever I have sales, especially during the holidays, I'll post and people order from my website, and then they meet me to pick everything up. So locally, I'm the local sugar dealer. Everyone knows what I bake, and when I'm baking, even my neighbors, when they see that I've posted, when they see me loading up my truck to meet everyone at the meeting point, they'll sit on their porch. And they'll wait and come over and get it before I leave for the meeting location.
So So where do you see your business growing? Like, what is your ultimate goal in the next, like, say, 5 years? Where do you see the growth of your business to be? Or where would you like it to be?
Well, we have another flavor coming out this fall. I would love to be in retail. If there's anyone listening that could help us with retail placement, please, please, please email me at legacycakes@gmail.com. So right now we're working on retail placement with a line of several flavors. That is my goal for the next 5 years.
Gotcha. Okay.
What new products do you have under development, as Erin was kind of asking that question?
Well, I have other flavors in addition to the Southern Pound Cake flavor. I can't talk about those right now, but as they're released one by one, you'll say, this is Southern Indulgence. Every single flavor is a different Southern Indulgent dessert.
Okay, great.
Right. We won't ask you to reveal your secrets, you know, your G14
Thank
classified
you.
Information.
Thank
but we
you.
We have to get it when it's out. We're gonna buy some.
Thank you.
Thank
so you
how
so
can
much.
We? How do you feel like we can encourage people in the field of home economics and, you know, in an era where everything is so microwavable and, you know, you can get fast food and you can, you know, go buy things here or there? How do we get people more involved in, you know, home ec and even supporting small businesses? Like, what do you think is the recipe for that?
Well, as far as I have so many answers trying to come out at one time, but I think as far as like microwaves and fast food, when you think about cooking at home, it's healthier. Doing everything at home is healthier. I've always loved, I was in Future Homemakers of America when I was in high school. So I've always been interested in, you know, child rearing and recipes and balancing the budget. I've just been really, I don't want to say old-fashioned, but I've just always enjoyed that, even from a really young age. You know, I've already said cooking and baking, but I don't even have a microwave because I don't trust that. I know that sounds really old-fashioned, but, I mean, patience is a virtue, and I think it's healthier if you heat your food up in the oven. And my daughters, we don't have a microwave, so they know everything takes time. It's like heating up our food. Dinner takes time. Anything that you love and is good for you takes time. And that's anything. So it's from my heart. You know, to take care of my family and my home and create healthy, balanced meals as well as desserts. I don't know if I answered your question or a different one.
You did. You answered it. Because I think we live in such a society and a world where it's like everybody wants everything instantaneously. It's like, I want it now. I want it
right
now. And you're right though. Things take time. And even in things that are worth having, especially take time.
Everything takes time. Mm-hmm. Anything good takes time. Love, family, pound cake, everything good takes time.
See, that's my sign. You just said pound cake for enough times. I'm going to have to go to the website.
I'm just thinking.
I'll have to go to the website and order one of these pound cakes.
Can order the tutorial and learn how to make pound cakes.
Now, listen, I have many skills, Miranda.
You can. I'll be right there with you in your kitchen. And you can write down this recipe and pass it down to your children and grandchildren, and they'll say, ooh, Grandma Erin had the best pound cake.
And I'm
going to
take
wrote down this recipe.
Too.
You should. Do it.
I'll
never know the difference.
Credit.
Please do.
So Beverly's telling us that we have callers, and callers, if you're there, why don't you press 1 if you'd like to speak, and we'll call out your last 4 digits. So we just want to let our callers and our listeners know that if you want to speak with Miss Miranda or Alan or I, just go ahead and press 1, and we will let you come through, and we'll call out your last 4 digits. I hope I did that right. I hope I pronounced that announcement correctly. So, Miranda, do you do, like, events? Do you do weddings and stuff like that, too?
Oh, yes. I do weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, everything. Because
so
for
is there, like,
something sweet, I'm there.
So do you make it based on the theme or surrounding the event, or do you just go with what you feel? Do they ask for specific things, or how do you go about that process?
About 80% of the time, they give me the colors and the flavors, and they ask me to do what I want to do.
Okay.
It's hard to recreate someone else's creation, and I'm glad that my customers know that they can trust, you know, brain and my talent, and as long as they get their flavor, they just want something beautiful, and I'm honored that they trust me to do that, and I'm just grateful to God for the talent and the skill to be able to do it.
That's beautiful. All right. It looks like we have a caller with your last 4 digits being 7555. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how you doing? Who do we have the pleasure of speaking with?
Maria. I'm Beverly's big sister.
Hi, Maria. How you doing?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you for asking. I have a question. Well, in fact, I have 2. One request is, can you please repeat your website? And the other one is, which is better to use in cooking or baking? Electric or gas?
Okay, so my website is southernindulgenceemotion.com. And as far as cooking or baking, I prefer to cook with gas, but bake with electric.
Oh, okay. Any particular
reason why? I feel like you have a more even, I just like it. It's just my personal preference. I can't, with gas, it's hard for me to know when things are ready. One of my superpowers in a weird way is I can smell when I'm baking when something is ready. Like, I don't need a toothpick. I don't need to jiggle it. I can smell it and know that it's ready. And I can't do that with electric. With gas. I can only do that with electric.
Because I've noticed from home to home that I've been in, electric and gas baking, it's totally different because it depends on your altitude.
Right.
And I'm wondering if that factors into your baking.
I don't think that it does because I'm in Eastern North Carolina, so it's pretty flat over here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in, Maria. I didn't realize that was a thing, like, where you altitude can shift how things bake.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
If you're in Denver, the baking is different than it would be in Tampa.
So when you say different, like meaning you have to have a different temperature, or it's just going to cook differently?
Yes, and the cook time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You give me a whole math lesson. Look at that.
Yes, ma'am. It just depends on your altitude. Mm-hmm.
Did they teach y'all that in culinary school?
I'm kind of knew it before.
Oh, okay.
It's even on the back of like a Betty Crocker box cake mix.
Uh-huh.
They have it on there about altitude.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I don't cook. You see that?
Okay. Which is why you need the pink lemonade pound cake tutorial.
I'm going to watch it tonight. Let me go pull it up right now so I can try to get my life together, because I'm just like, you turn it on and then it cooks the thing.
I know you can do it.
Thank you for your faith in me.
Of course. I believe in you.
So Miranda's question, as far as all that you've done up to this point, and Aaron and I'm going to speak for Aaron, we're going to push you on this one. How long before we can expect your first book sharing your journey and your story?
I'm sorry. Lynn, could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
I'm going to push the question. I know Aaron will understand. How long before we can expect your first book out to share your story and your journey?
Oh. That would be I think that's going to be a while. I can talk all day about baking, but quite honestly, my story is, it's taken me a while to get here. And if it were not for God and therapy and my family, I could be somewhere else totally, in a mental institution, or I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for this time and this space and what God has allowed and what he didn't allow, just for helping me to get to this moment that I can talk to you all. I'm nervous, of course, but I believe in me, and I believe in my products, and I know that I'm a great baker. And a couple years ago, I was questioning even my baking skills, and I'm a phenomenal baker.
Mm-hmm.
So much has happened. I'd love to tell my story, but I know the time is not now.
It's coming, though. It's coming.
It is.
Well,
it is.
That time is coming. Well, Miranda, we have another caller.
Okay.
Caller with the 408 area code. Are you there, caller?
Hi, yes. I just wanted to come in and commend everyone on this panel discussion, the Recipe for Literacy and the Black Community Roundtable discussion has been a phenomenal season. I am Beverly. I'm the creator of this platform. And Aaron and Alan, you just let me know how much I am going to miss you and miss this platform. And I just really wanted to come in and say thank you once again. And more importantly, as your insights are the insights and emotions that I just sensed from our guest. So that is what brings me on this line. And Miranda, I want to thank you for your transparency and your honesty. Thank you for allowing our guests and our listeners to understand that you can go from a place of wherever those emotions have arisen from in you right now to where you are walking in this level of your journey, and everything in between is your story. Gumbel for the Soul Publications avails ourselves to you to help you walk this journey, because I'm an empath, and I just felt those emotions. And I want to let you know that you are talking to someone. First, and let me say again, that was my sister that just called in with those questions, and she's texting me, and I'm texting her, and I love you. She wants to know that website again, girl. She's from Louisiana. She ain't trying to miss out on these southern indulgences, okay? So our family brand is Gumbo for the Soul. We're Louisianan Texans, and I am the Californian in the family. But I just want to, again, thank all of you for the right conversation, for the platform, and for what you are doing. I could not have had this platform without you, Alan, Aaron, and Miranda. Thank you again. I feel a testimony in you, and when you're ready, you let me know. Now, Aaron, this professional librarian, educator, author, and producer, owner, CEO of Teacher Talks is coming up. In the fall, I believe I've been hearing a lot about August, and so I wish you nothing but true success for that. Alan, being an educator and an author yourself with all this sage wisdom, I know you think you've gotten rid of me, but guess what? Never. So have an amazing rest of your evening, and I'd like to turn it back over to you. But thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you so much, Miss Beverly. Thank you.
And Miranda, I just want to kind of piggyback on what Beverly was saying, if I can. From the authorship side, and I'm sure Aaron will agree, each of us have a story that we have inside of us. So I would encourage you, don't minimize or think that you can't, because you are a living testimony to the grace of God in terms of how far he's brought you. And more importantly, the future is so bright that we're all going to have on two pairs of sunglasses based on what you know about you.
I receive that. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Now, we need to talk about these academic cookies you sent me, but that we'll talk about that off the air. That's okay. After all, it is my birthday, okay, so.
I'm sorry, y'all. I was, you know, off crying. Thank you, Beverly, for coming on and speaking life into not only me and Alan, but into Miranda. I think sometimes we don't realize how powerful it is just to speak life into people sometimes, and how we don't know that they need what we have to give them. So, so I'm so grateful. And I am eternally grateful to Beverly for this opportunity to, be on this platform, to have a chance to, live out a dream that I have had tucked away in my spirit for a long time. I'm an educator, but, you know, little Aaron, like, wanted to be a talk show host. So to get to be able to live my dream out on every Monday has been an honor. And Alan, to be able to do this with you has been one of the greatest joys of my life. And Miranda, I am so honored that you have spent our last episode with us, and just to hear your story and to hear how proud you are of yourself and how you know, you are so confident in your ability. That's such a beautiful thing, because I think sometimes we don't acknowledge ourselves enough. We don't hype ourselves up enough. We don't talk about how great we are enough. So even hearing you say that you know you're a great baker, like, that's a huge thing, because a lot of people have gifts inside of them that they don't even realize that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so beautiful to witness. So I am so full. My cup runneth over.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Just a little hint, Miranda. The title of your book, just the title of the book, just between the three of us, it could be called The Right Ingredient.
Okay. The Water Ingredient.
Alan already dropping title names. Go ahead, Alan.
Water Ingredient. I like it. I'm writing that down.
Tell him on air not to charge you.
No, I'm not going to charge you. I just want them cookies or some kind of pound cake. That's all. That's all I want.
Well, we
all
are
right.
Almost
I
out of time.
That. Thank you.
So, Miranda, please tell everybody once again where they can find you, where they can follow you, where they can get your information from. Just give us all your details.
Thank you so much, Aaron, and thank you, Alan and Miss Beverly. Thank you, Miss Maria, for calling in. I'm so grateful for this opportunity and to be here with you all this evening, sharing about my product as well as part of my story. You can find my Southern Indulgence Emulsion and my first flavor, Southern Pound Cake, on www.southernindulgenceemulsion.com. You can follow me at the same handle on Instagram for baking as far as holidays and birthdays and just to see what I've been creating. You can follow me on Legacy Cakes and Courtesies, and that's on Facebook as well as Instagram. And if you could help me in any way with product placement for my emulsions, I would love to be in retail stores or on shopping networks. Please email me at legacycakes20, and that's 20, at gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate all of you.
Awesome sauce. Well, I am Erin Joshua. I am a librarian. I am an author. I'm a poet. I am a host. And you can find me on Erin Joshua on Facebook or Lady_Joshua1 on Instagram. Or you can go to my website at lifeunlocked.org. That's LIFEUNLOCED.org. And just follow anything that I got going on. Where can they find you, Alan?
I am on alantblack.com. That's alantblack.com. That's my authorship website. You can also go to ajdw.org, and you will see four fabulous black men who have come together and have a radio show each week, and we talk about different things in life. And so you can reach me there, and I'm going to break away and just say something for Aaron and for Miranda and for Beverly as a conclusion. If I'm out of order, that's just too bad. But I think it's important that we embrace the greatness of the woman that you have heard from this evening. And if I can just steal a line from Miranda, like the great ingredients in the products that she creates, still we rise to the greatness that's within each of us, because we know with God that all things are indeed possible.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's true. Amen.
Thank you for
amen
that.
Amen. And for the
amen,
last one.
Amen. I just have to come in because, you know, he getting feisty. He said, that's just too bad. You're going to hear it. I'm going to speak over you if I got to speak through you. That's what a real man of the cloth will do. Thank you once again to all of you. And Alan, you just cracked me up. Happy birthday early. Go ahead, Aaron. I'm sorry, but I had to come in again. Thank you so much, all of you.
Thank you.
You know, you're fine, Beverly. You're fine. So for the last time, we have been Aaron and Alan, and this has been the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community. And, Alan, this song is for you.
All righty.
Happy birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you and you and you and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope. hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
Let's have a legend.